A very good day to you all. Welcome back to Marker's Eye on La Liga. We are focusing on all things European football today as the second leg of the All Madrid semi-final clash in the Champions League gets set for tomorrow night. Atletico Madrid needing a miracle. Their final game at the Vicente Calderon against Real Madrid if they are to turn around their 3-goal aggregate deficit. And of course, Celta Vigo in their first ever European semi-final in the second leg against Manchester United coming up on Thursday. They trail by a goal to nil, but there is plenty of hope for a Vigo side of making it to a European final against what looks like it will be Ajax or Lyon. Of course, Ajax with a 4-1 lead in their semi-final at the moment. Joining me today, Ollie Wilson on the podcast, brought to you, of course, by Marker in English, www.marker.com/EN. Two of the finest footballing minds that I've been able to dig out on a Tuesday afternoon to talk a bit of continental football with a Spanish twist on it. First and foremost, Mr. Mark Mayo, writer at marker.com/EN. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. It sounds like a Tuesday afternoon. I'm not. If it's a Saturday evening, does that mean you'd have like the proper front row, top rate journalist? But Tuesday afternoon, I'm not relating it to a strip club, but it's that kind of sense, isn't it?
It's. I'm not saying it's the B squad in any way, shape, or form with yourself, and always enjoy your musings on the podcast, of course. And a big thanks for stepping in into the hosting seat as well last week, as always. I get the sense that you're quite enjoying a bit of the hosting side of it as well, mate.
It's nice. I've actually got onto a little bit of grips with it now, but as always, I'm happy to cede when you come into town and jump in the big chair.
Look, I tell you what, I'm just fearing for my job at the moment. another man joining us on the podcast today, who is seemingly always eager to be on this show every single week, Mr. Simon Harrison, once again out in Spain and picking up all of the atmosphere locally for the big clashes in Europe this week. How are you doing, Simon?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, if we are the B team, I mean, in terms of Real Madrid, that's never really going to be an insult, is it?
Yeah, it means we're better, doesn't it?
it's more as a rotation policy a la Zidane, this podcast, really, isn't it? You know, happy to mix and match, see where the chemistry is, and also utilise the squad depth that we have that could basically be in any other podcast starting lineup. That's the way
we are the younger members of the team, so you need the players like Jason. They need to have a rest more often than us. We've got the legs, we've got the heart and willingness that can take us through a whole season without any long breaks.
I'm sure he is going to be so happy with you saying that, Mark. P45's in the post come next week, I'm sure. Before we say goodbye to Mark for perhaps how long, I do not know. We better talk about the European exploits coming up this week, and Wednesday night sees Athletic Madrid needing a minor miracle, perhaps even a major miracle, to turn around their 3-goal deficit against Real Madrid. To start things off with, you know, it's very easy just to say, have they got a chance? You know, how are they going to approach this? But it's more of a case, what exactly does this Atletico Madrid side need to do to expose Real Madrid enough that they concede 3 and be able to keep a solid enough defence to be able to maintain a clean sheet? Because it's 3-0 or better that they need coming up.
Well, I mean, it's a hard one. I mean, I can't really see that the problem lies for me in the tyres. I can't see Real Madrid failing to score. And once that away goal comes into the equation, I really don't see Atletico Madrid, if they, you know, play in the same vein as they did in that first leg. It was really I couldn't really recognise anything about what we expect from Atletico Madrid in that performance. So if you take into account the fact that Real Madrid, they've scored at least 2 times in their last 5 away games in the Champions League, I mean, obviously, you know, it's all the emotion of it being the penultimate game at the Vicente Calderon. Diego Simeone, who'll be asking for a lot more from his players at the end of their game against Eibar. In La Liga at the weekend, you know, all the fans stayed and they're trying to, you know, build this momentum or build this energy going forward into this game. And while I think, you know, they're more than capable of winning the second leg, I don't think they're capable of winning the tie. I don't think they're capable of scoring enough goals without conceding themselves. And when you've got people like Cristiano Ronaldo in both physically and mentally in the frame of mind that they're in, coming into this really, really important crunch match, I just don't see how they're going to be able to keep a clean sheet. And I think that's the fundamental key to even standing a chance of, you know, forcing this to full distance.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree when it comes to the clean sheet. You think teams of old, like even the early Ancelotti Real Madrid teams and the Mourinho and the Benitez teams, you can see them not scoring because you see the way they approach games and they would be more likely to shut up shop and that would allow Atletico into the game. But I can't see the way that the mentality behind this Real Madrid team, I can't see them anything other than just believing themselves totally that they're going to score. And like Simon says, if they score, then Atletico need five. And I don't think I'd back Atletico to score five against, you know, a decent team, let alone a team that's as good as Real Madrid, because they've only really got one or two players that can get that many goals.
Well, the last time they scored five in a game was against Granada. More than five in a game was against Granada back in October with that 7-1 victory. I mean, there aren't many sides in world football that you would back to get five at the best of times. And really, aside from Barcelona, and that's only after, I think, what we saw with their Champions League tie in the second leg against Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, most people had written them off after the first leg in anyway. So there is nobody that really has that belief that Atletico Madrid can afford to concede. The last time Real Madrid didn't score away from home was against Manchester City in the Champions League back last April, I believe it was. And that's in all competitions as well. I mean, that's a staggering set of form in terms of goal scoring for this Real Madrid side. They are just too potent. Do you think there's an Atletico Madrid team of maybe a couple of years ago that would have fancied its chances of keeping a clean sheet? Or is this in general always going to be just far too tough for Atletico?
I think that they can... That's probably the one thing which it's almost as if... It's a sort of risky prediction to say they could keep a clean sheet, but I would say it's definitely a lot more likely than them, managing to score the goals to get through. Since, I think it's September 2013, I was looking at earlier, they've only conceded five times at home in the Champions League, so they've got the pedigree to do it. I mean, obviously, it varies with, you know, the quality of opposition, whether it's in the group stage or the knockout phase. But that's the one thing, that's the one sort of inkling of belief that they can cling on to, is the fact that at Estadio Vicente Calderon in years gone by, you know, they've kept a lot, I think 9 clean sheets in their last 10 Champions League home games, something like that. I mean, they've got the statistics to back it up, and they've got the fact that, you know, the fans, they will want to see these last few games at the stadium before they move home. They'll want to see these performances where they'll battle and they'll fight and they'll make some extra history to add to the history books before, you know, they change and it's a new chapter. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see Real Madrid not being able to score. And then even if the Atletico were to, you know, if they were going to just try and think, well, we'll try and maybe play on the counter. I don't see how, if you're playing on the counter for so long, even if, say, you get to the 60 minute mark and they still haven't conceded, there's got to be a point in the game where they change their approach, and then there's going to be gaps that are going to appear. I know it's quite a cliche to say it, but I mean, I can't see it finishing any other way than Atletico going out.
Is there almost a problem with Atletico Madrid in that part of the belief that they can't turn this around, not only of stopping Real Madrid, is that they haven't been able to be really that dominant force going forward that we were expecting from them this season, with Gamero set to partner Griezmann at the start of the campaign, and it was all looking like Gamero would take on his form from last season alongside Griezmann, who's such a creative wizard, be able to find a combination of power and pace and really start banging the goals in for Diego Simeone's side, which has almost been the thing that's lacked in their game. You know, they've got the hustle and being able to harass people defensively and in the heart of the pitch. They can certainly scrap for games, but it's just maybe getting the same number of goals that Barca and Real Madrid have had in previous seasons for their campaigns. And it's never really worked out in terms of finding a consistent front two that work well for Simeone's side.
Well, it's not only the front two, because obviously Gamero, if you look at the teams of past, Diego Costa and Radamel Falcao are miles better strikers than Kevin Gamero was in an Atleti shirt, and Griezmann alongside either of those two would be huge. But then having Koke, Gabi and almost Carrasco as well, I don't think all of the midfield players, as you say, they're great all-round players, but their ability to go and get goals themselves isn't that high. You think that Carrasco's gone off the boil a little bit. Sao Niguez pops up, obviously, with quite a few important goals, but I'm struggling to think of the amount of times I've seen Koke, Gabby, Godin, these sort of players, or even the players off the bench such as Correa, I don't believe that they've got it in them to come off the bench and get a huge goal at an important moment that this needs, whereas the teams past, such as, you know, Arda Turan, those sort of other players that I mentioned that Atleti had, those were players that you could really look at and think, bring them on now and there is something going to happen.
Mark, how does Zidane approach the game? It's easy, I guess. We see it over 90 minutes when a side gets a two-goal lead and then sits back a little more and allows the opposition to come on them slightly and then get themselves in a bit of trouble. Is there any chance that Madrid will just sit a little deeper than perhaps they would if this was a closer tide, or do they just come out and play their game of football?
Well, it depends, because you look at the fact that I think Dani Carvajal being out is going to play a big role in this, because it's going to kind of unbalance the defence. If they play Nacho Fernandez, it means that he's not going to be able to get forward as much. And then does that affect Marcelo? And if that is going to be the case, then that's going to be a flat back four, and that will be a lot deeper than they usually play. Danilo obviously might get forward a bit more down the right-hand side. And if they do have that, what was quite important in the first leg was the wing-backs pushing on forward. So that's going to change the flow of the game as to which player he picks at right back. And I don't think they're going to... I think what we're going to see is a very similar setup to the way that they came to the Calderon in the league. And that was, you think of the goals they scored there, very much counter-attack based, weren't they?
Simon, the last Madrid derby at the Vicente Calderon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to have a special importance now to the fans, and there will be a cracking atmosphere, but it's hardly a fitting way to bow out of this stadium, really, is it?
Well, no. I mean, I think that whole emotional side of things will probably mean that, regardless of whether in the past perhaps this would be sort of a dead rubber, you're not sure whether the other team will, you know, whether they'll believe that they're able to get back into it, but they don't really have an option of thinking anything other than we're going to give 100% in front of these fans. It will be a sellout, and I mean, yeah, it's a shame, because you looked at these two ties, not just the Madrid derby, but also Monaco against Juventus, and you thought that these two ties are like mouthwatering. They're going to be brilliant to watch, and both of them have sort of just been struck down in their prime halfway through, because I don't see either of the teams that are trailing, you know, getting back into it. And while I do think that is testament to the fact that Juventus and Real Madrid, they've got such fantastic squads and such fantastic depth. It is a bit of a shame. I mean, as you say, it's the penultimate game, and even if Atletico, you know, pull off a really hard fought victory, even if they draw and it's a spirited performance, there'll still be that lingering bit of disappointment that, even though yes, they did fight back, yes, they did show what it's meant to be Atletico under Diego Simeone, that ultimately they fell short to Real Madrid yet again.
It's not been that long ago since Atletico Madrid did pull off a result that would do them the business, if you will, to get to the Champions League final. That was back in week 22 of the 14-15 campaign. Atletico Madrid 4, Real Madrid 0. But from the sounds of it, neither of you two are thinking that that is going to be the case. I don't normally do this, but I get a score prediction from each of you in terms of how this is going to play out. And then obviously, I imagine you both are expecting it to be Juventus that Real Madrid will meet in the final. Mark?
Yeah, definitely. I think Juve will probably 1-0 or something Monaco. I think that'll be a quite low-scoring game. I think with Atletico, I do fundamentally believe there will be one moment when it looks like it's possible, be that an early goal or something. I think Atletico could well go 2-0 up, and my score prediction is 2-1 to Atletico.
What about yourself, Simon?
Even though it kind of goes against the fact that Atletico have been so solid at home in the Champions League, I mean, I'd be inclined to say something like 2-2. I really don't think that this Real Madrid team know when they're beaten. And even if, you know, in this whole scenario that it's very hard for them to lose, I don't think that they'll want to lose on the night.
Interesting. Neither of you thinking there's a chance for Atletico Madrid. I think most of the listeners would be inclined to agree with you. We're going to take a very quick break on the show. When we come back, we're going to have a little chat about Celta Vigo's exploits against Manchester United, a far closer tie as it stands. And a real chance for the side from Vigo to book their place in a European final. More on that when we come back here on Marco's Eye on the League.
Okay. Come on.
Liga, continuing to break down a little bit of the previews for the European action coming up this week in the Champions League and the Europa League. And it's the Europa League where we will finish up with today. Of course, joining me, Ollie Wilson on the show, Mark Mayo and Simon Harrison, both of marker.com/EN. You can see their work on the website, of course, both fine writers indeed, and get onto Twitter at Marker in English. That is at Marta Marker. In English, Marta. Could be Marta. Could be a young lady or something. I don't know.
It's the Brazilian footballer, isn't it?
One of the best female players in the world, isn't she? Yeah, it could be a website dedicated to her, Mark, in your spare time. You never know. But at Marker in English on Twitter is where you can find the latest and breaking news as well. Let's talk about Celta Vigo. They've got a really good chance against Manchester United, don't you feel? Burrito's side of being able to turn this one around. He's been happy to rest players time and time again in La Liga for these Europa League clashes. And they really do see themselves as being in with a shout of playing in the Champions League with the big boys next year. As long, as I say, as they can book their place via the Europa League. Taking on Manchester United at Old Trafford this week. Finally poised game. Just the one goal in it at the moment. Do you think there's any chance, Mark, of Burrito's resting of players in the last few weeks in La Liga catching up on him slightly, and you suddenly got a Celta Vigo team that are a little bit out of just match chemistry, if you will, as they go to Old Trafford to take on Manchester United on Thursday?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that they're going to feel a little bit disjointed, because in the way that they've been resting players, the fact is that this Europa League team hasn't won since the 13th of March, because they played the Granada game, sorry, after that, and then they haven't won. The entire club hasn't won since then. So you actually come into it thinking, yeah, they're all rested, but are they actually on good form? And they lost the first leg 1-0, which immediately shows to you that when you lose at home, and they are pretty strong at home, Celta Vigo, it's not a good result for them. Obviously, one goal changes things, but I'm not expecting this team to be this. They can probably go, if it requires them, they'd have the fitness to go into extra time. But coming out with the traps flying isn't something that I think they're going to be able to do.
Two goals in the last six outings as well. It's not pretty reading in terms of going forward for Burrito's side. Simon, do you like the idea of resting players? It can pay off, and we see some managers are able to do it, but in the same way that we criticise perhaps having a European and Cup goalkeeper and a league goalkeeper, it's almost asking for criticism to be put on you when you don't get the job done eventually in Europe. And considering Europe is such a tough nut to crack anyway, are you surprised that Burrito has adopted this sort of policy throughout the season, particularly the knockout rounds?
I mean, I don't think it's too surprising, as in La Liga, you know, it's been quite disappointing. They started off very, very poorly, managed to pull themselves up into a position where, you know, they've kind of stabilised between maybe 10th and 12th for the majority of the season. And from there, you think, well, they haven't really got anything to play for in La Liga. Obviously, you get a bit more prize money for finishing higher, but I think he'd be facing a lot more criticism if he hadn't rested and then he'd picked up some injuries. If, you know, you see some players like Marcelo Diaz who pick up injuries, maybe even Aspas, you know, has had the odd injury here and there. If these kind of players had picked up injuries, I think the criticism would be through the roof. As it is, it's something where you can look at it and you can think, well, are they going to be putting in the same kind of performances as we'd expect from them? And it might not quite come as we'd hoped, and they might not quite perform as they did when they, you know, got a good run going together, when Aspas was enjoying playing very regularly. So, you know, for strikers, I suppose it comes down to the fact that you keep having these chances and you don't really think about it. You just take what comes to you, you feel good. And maybe that is something which is harder to, you know, continue with when it's so fractured. But, I mean, I don't really think Burrito's had much of a choice. I think that it's much better to have a little bit of criticism suggesting maybe the performances aren't there than having, you know, seeing as they've got quite a shallow squad, it's better than sending out something that you've cobbled together during the week to Old Trafford.
What about what needs to change from that first leg, Simon, in terms of where did Celta get it wrong a week ago? And how can they, I guess, alter tactically what they need to do in terms of the link play between Aspas, Basisto and Guidetti, is that kind of roaming front four to a slight extent? And where are the weak points for this United side as well? Because there's plenty absent for United through injury in terms of Luke Shaw, Marcus Rojo, Ashley Young, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as well as a big loss to their starting line. There is still a United side that is there to be got at by most teams around Europe, really, going into this.
I think one thing which kind of stood out to me was when Mourinho recently, he's been going with the likes of Fellaini and Herrera in midfield. I mean, Ander Herrera, he knows what these kind of nights mean. The fans like the fact that he shows passion, he's physical, he likes to get stuck in, I suppose, as the cliche goes. And then you've got Fellaini, who everyone knows is a big bundle of elbows and, you know, physicality. And I think that when you go with having Pablo Hernandez and Nemanja Radoya at the base of midfield, I mean, I thought they were just lacking a little bit of bite. I mean, you look at Hernandez, Radoya, Sisto, Vaz and Iago Aspas as sort of the midfield five in behind Guidetti, and there's not really a lot of physicality there. There's not a lot of height there. I think Pablo Hernandez is probably, you know, the anomaly. But there's not too much they could change up in that sense. I think maybe Marcelo Diaz would offer a bit more, you know, bite potentially. So maybe he could come in at the base of midfield. Because for me, what really stood out was going forward, things didn't really link together as they may have hoped. But the bigger problem wasn't really that they didn't create as much as they would have liked. I think sort of when possession turned over and, you know, you've got the likes. Well, they were very quick on the break, I thought, Manchester United with Lingard, Mkhitaryan, Rashford. And although those players didn't always take the right option, I thought that Radoya and Pablo Hernandez, they did look quite overwhelmed when the front forward kind of caught the wrong side of the ball.
Mark, in terms of the key battles for Celta Vigo then this evening, who are the key men that are going to have to come up trumps against their opponent and the opposing player in a red shirt this Thursday night?
Well, I always look at Pione Sisto. I've watched him at the under-21 European Championship a couple of years ago and for Denmark, and he is just such a live wire. He's the type of player who can go missing like any winger, but when he's on his on game, and Man United's defence, their problem has been at home. They've drawn a lot of games 1-1, and if Celta Vigo can get that early goal through a player like Sisto, then that's going to be key. I'd say, to be honest, I mean, Iago Aspas is the one that we're all going to look to, and that's because he's the only one actually scores for Celta. No one else consistently gets on the score sheet. Guidetti's had a terrible season for scoring. You can always expect more out of players like Daniel Vaz, but I think Aspas, he just has that sort of experience now that he was lacking before, and he has the technique of a player who knows what he's doing and can certainly grab a goal.
In terms of their chances then and an expected result against Manchester United at Old Trafford, an intimidating place for Celta Vigo to go as well. Obviously a lot more hopes for them than Atletico Madrid, but big question, does it actually happen for them? Are they able to find a way past Mourinho's side?
I mean, I think they can definitely make it an interesting tie. I do think that, you know, going away to Old Trafford, Mark has said obviously that Manchester United have drawn a lot there, but the fact is that they really haven't lost. So it's only been, last game that their massive unbeaten streak ended. And Mourinho has been criticised for the fact that there were a lot of draws in there, but a draw would be fine for going through in this particular instance. So I definitely do think that Celta, they've got a lot to do. I wonder whether they're capable of scoring, but you do look at the players like Iago Aspas, Sisto, I think Daniel Vaz is a very good player. They have got the potential to threaten from free kick kind of situations because of that too. So I could see them definitely making an interesting tie. I don't think it's anything near the write-off that I consider the Madrid derby tie to be in the Champions League. But for me, as much as I would like to see Celta get through, you know, make history, and even, you know, knock out Jose Mourinho, I can't quite see it happening, and that's just because I don't think that they'll be able to beat Manchester United on their own patch.
Not giving them a chance. Mark, you've got to have a little bit more hope, surely, for the Celta fans.
I mean, there is that chance. I think I was just thinking back to the Porto side that went to Man United, and it's in that second leg at Old Trafford that they've been so good. They've, other than the Porto game, they've never been knocked out in the second leg at home in a European tie in 20 years, and that's the sort of thing that you're facing up against a team that's so experienced, and as a club, as the fans, they're capable of dealing with these nights. I don't think they'll go through. I think there's a good chance it'll finish 1-1 or 1-0 to Man United. I think, as I said, Celta have to get that first goal, because otherwise there's no chance.
If anybody knows how to shut up shop, it's Jose Mourinho. And so that will be very interesting. That first goal is so pivotal in the second leg of that encounter at Old Trafford. Aspas needs to get goal number 25 then this season to give Celta Vigo a chance, because it doesn't look like it's going to come from too many other places around that Celta Vigo squad. And Bariso's side need to pull off, not a miracle, but certainly perhaps a little bit of helping hand from Lady Luck to get past the Red Devils on Thursday and to their first ever European final. Gents, thanks so much for joining us on a very brief eye on La Liga this week, and we will be back on Thursday to talk about, of course, the race for the league title and look back at the Champions League encounter as well. And we'll probably end up starting our Champions League final preview as well on that day, in terms of first reflections after the midweek action from Europe's Premier Club competition. Until then, Mark, thanks very much for joining us, mate. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
And thanks very much, Simon, as well. You enjoy the sun out in Spain.
I'll enjoy it, and I cannot wait for all of our predictions to be proved entirely wrong.
Obviously, when Atletico Madrid get the 4-0 victory on Wednesday night and Celta Vigo put 3 past United at Old Trafford, we'll be back on Thursday to talk about all of it. And of course, next week as well, if Vigo pull off the absolute massive victory against the Red Devils. Until then, we'll speak to you in a few days or so. Get onto marca.com/EN, at Marca in English on Twitter. And we will see you in a few days' time after all the European action. Take care. Have a good one.